Turn to Revelation 3:20. And I'm very excited to bring this Bible study to you today because, the title of today's study is How to Hear from God. And why I'm excited to bring this Bible study to you is because this is the number one question that I'm asked from Christian youth. I've been in youth ministry for 17 years now, and the number one question that Christian youth ask me, how do I hear from God, or does God speak today? So it's a great question, and we want to address it. And we want to see and understand and become spiritual beings where we listen for God and we learn about this today. Does God speak today? Does God speak? That's the question. And how do you hear from God? That's the number one question. Well, I believe he does speak, and he probably speaks to us far more often than we could ever imagine. I think often we're dull to the senses of what God wants to show us. And what I'm saying today is, today we might open our lives up to that we can, we might open our minds and our lives up to that God wants to speak to us, but we need to become open to God speaking to us. We need to learn to discern the voice of God so that we know when God is speaking to us. And the only way to do that is to begin listening. The only way to begin to do that is to begin acting on when you believe God has spoken to you. And believe me, I think God speaks to us quite often on a regular basis, but we often disobey, including myself. Like when he says, you know, that prompting, go witness to that person. Oh, well, I'm busy. Oh, well, I don't know. They look funny. You know, but I think that we, the daily ones, the routine ones, I think we forget a lot of those, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. To me, that's God speaking. I think we can bring all this under the immutability of God. Does God change? You understand what that is? That's where you take theology and you run what you believe through, what you know the Bible to be. And the Bible says that God does not change. In Hebrews 13:8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, it's called the immutability of God. He doesn't change. So God has spoken in the past, and he'll speak in the future, you see. So that's what we're looking at today. Revelation 3:20. Let's read that, and let's see what Jesus is saying here. Revelation 3:20. It says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Jesus is saying, hey, here I am. I'm knocking at the door. I'm knocking at the door of your heart, the door of your life, the door of your mind, however you want to say. I am knocking, and I want to talk to you. If anyone hears my voice and lets me in. God wants to speak to you. God wants to have a relationship with you. I can tell you, to have a relationship, to say you have a relationship with God and not have a two-way relationship isn't much of a relationship. So I believe to have an alive relationship with God, you need to be talking but also listening for God, watching for what God wants to show you, where God wants to lead you, how and why, and different people it may work differently a little bit. But basically, God wants to speak to you, and I believe that, and I believe you're going to want to hear from him if he has something to say. If anyone who hears my voice will open the door, he'll come in. So he's knocking at the door. This was written to the church of Laodicea, a church who quite possibly is very similar to the church today here in England, a church who had rejected God, a church who neither hot nor cold, was lukewarm, as it talks about in Revelation 3 earlier. And it's a church that says, you say in verse 17 of Revelation 3, you say I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, etc., etc. God is talking about this church of Laodicea. That says, they're saying, hey, we're rich. Sounds very much like the Western church, America, England. Very rich Western Europe. Got some money. Got your NHS. We got it all. And we think we got it all, but maybe we don't. Maybe we don't have the spirituality we need because we have it all. We have a dependency on God. Because we have everything we need, we don't have a dependency on God. So, but anyway, he's telling this church, hey, I'm at the door, I'm knocking. I want to come in. You've closed me out of the church. And that's happened in so many churches today. They've formalized and did so many things today that God even isn't there. Jesus is on the outside, not on the inside. But God's wanting to speak. Jesus is saying, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. Here's my voice. There's the word. Does God speak today? If you hear my voice, he says. Turn to John 10, verse 3. John 10, verse 3. Here we're... John 10, verse 3 through 6, and this is says here, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. They listen to his voice. Does God speak here? Jesus is saying, they listen to my voice. Now, this is a figure of speech Jesus is using here, but I think we need to realize God overwhelmingly spoke in the Bible, in the past, Old Testament, New Testament, and he's saying now, if you're my sheep, you'll listen to my voice. Verse 4 goes on to say, when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Verse 5, but they will not follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. We need to become in tune with God's voice. A sheep will not come to you if you walk out in a sheep field. I've tried it before. You know, the little cute sheep that come around March, April, and you want them to come to you, right? You go out there. I've done it. I want them to come to me. They will not come to me. I'm not their shepherd. They run from me, actually. And you need to realize that God's people will hear his voice. They will be led by him. God will speak to them. And we need to realize that God wants to speak to you, young folks. The number one question I'm asked by Christian youth, how do I hear from God? How do I know when God's speaking? God says here that his sheep know his voice. They follow him. They follow his voice. They feel secure in his voice. So let's look further. How does God speak then? If God does speak, how does he speak? That's a good question. Now, I think the Lord speaks to us all in many different ways, and often we actually miss what God's saying to us. He has many ways of speaking, including through the Bible, the most common way, through prayer, circumstances, spiritual gifts, common sense, wisdom, conviction, conscience, his character, his example, his peace, natural things, in times of silence. But you just got to discover how to become familiar with how God's speaking to you. You've got to open yourself up to supernatural things. It's God is not black and white. He's not only on the page and red, I guess if you have a red-lettered Bible. God is alive and active today. And he wants to minister to you. He wants to become real to you more than he is now. He wants to have a relationship with you. Relationships are two-way. Both of you speaking. Learn to listen. There are so many ways that God wants to speak. There's too many to actually list. I couldn't name them all because I don't know them all. Because there's odd ways God can speak to you also. But God does speak through his word, very common way. And that's why I'm encouraging you here at NextGen to come and share what God's saying to you in the Word through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that one of the offices of the Holy Spirit is illumination, to illuminate the Word to you, to bring it to remembrance to you. Okay? And if you can't remember what God spoke to you this week, sometimes you need to write it down. But you need to realize that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you through the Word. He does. You have 2 Timothy 3:16-17 that says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good word. The word has purposes of equipping and training you, but God also speaks to you in his love letter. God speaks to you when you read your Bible. God speaks to you when people preach to you through the Bible. But you've got to open your mind up. You've got to focus on what God is trying to say to you. You can't be distracted and hear as much. That's why I don't like distractions during the Bible study. I will not let it happen. It'll be over my dead body or my resignation that when I teach that there would be disruptions, that there would be disorder. The Bible says there's not supposed to be disorder in Corinthians in a service. The word of God is coming forth. Lives are being changed. Lives are at stake. Souls are at stake. People's very alive teeter in the balance, and the word may come to them and change them, move them to salvation, to a closer walk. That's why we're not going to have it disturbed. But the word of God reveals. That's one way God speaks to us, is through the revealed will of God. This is called the revealed will of God. God revealed his will in here. His revealed will is in here. And God had spoke many times in here, many times. And then here I took a little computer check on it and said, the Lord said 303 times in this Bible. Jesus said 116 times. God said 54 times. Lord spoke 24 times. Lord has spoken 11 times. The Spirit said 4 times. God told them 2 times. Only twice he told them. And there's many more. That's just the ones I could think of that would relate to this Bible study. But God has spoken many times in this word. But beside in here, there is another will revealed. That is your specific will for your life. Is it revealed in here who you're supposed to marry? Well, some guidelines are in here, but the name of the exact person is not revealed in here. What job you should take, what career path is not in here, is it? There's some guidelines, but that's what God spoke to me this week. That's why it fell out. There's some guidelines, but there is a specific will God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you his will for your life. He wants to lead you into it. He wants to speak it to you. He wants to show it to you. He wants to preach to you. He wants you to come in your devotion time, your prayer time. He wants it to come in a number of ways. He might want it come, you're looking at a doodle bug on a leaf. I don't know how, but God can speak to you, but you've got to open your mind to the supernatural. You've got to open your mind to the Spirit of God. You've got to open your mind more to the Word of God and to input it into your own life that you might be able to discern the Word of God. Specific will? Does God give us a specific will? Well, in Genesis 22, verse 2, God told Abraham to go sacrifice his son as a burnt offering. Guess what? Abraham got up early the next morning and went and did it. God gave a specific command to Abraham in the Bible. Specific will. We know how that turned out. He obeyed quickly, and God gave him grace. In Genesis 31, 11, God said to Jacob in a dream. In Exodus 3, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. That's sort of a very odd way. Acts 22, 21, God told Paul, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. In Judges 6, God showed Gideon through a fleece. Fleece? He showed him one day, and Gideon wasn't for sure that was God speaking, so he said, do the opposite next time, God, just in case, so I know it's you speaking. And that would be like a sign or something, and God did it the opposite. A fleece is where you wet it in a piece of sheep wool, or in case you don't know what that is. It's not a fleece like a flannel or something, but it's a piece of skin. It's a skin. Anyway, God speaks to people in different ways. God wants to speak to you guys, but you know what? We're closed off to the supernatural. We're not even open up our Bible. How could God speak to us? We're not open to God speaking to us. We're not willing to obey when he does. That's why God's not speaking to you. Now, God speaks through other things, other ways. He speaks through preachers. He speaks through fools. I don't know why I put those two together. Well, anyway, he speaks through creation. He's speaking to me through my new baby quite a bit, the fatherhood of God. He's showing me his fatherhood to me through my son and my fatherhood to him. He speaks many more ways, too many ways to list. You know how else God can speak? He speaks through Jesus' example. Well, that's sort of lame. Yeah, he does. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things and through whom he has made the universe. God is speaking through Jesus too. Now, some people would interpret this differently, but let me tell you how I would say this means. Jesus, other day I was struggling with something, right? And God spoke to me through the example of Jesus. I'm struggling with forgiving. And God spoke to me through the example of Jesus when he was on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, Jesus, God is speaking through Jesus' example. God speaks in many different ways. Jesus' example was powerful. He showed us what compassion for a prostitute was, or else none of us probably would go near him because we're too clean for that. And he showed us what it is to minister to the religious. He showed us what it was to minister to the rich. He showed us what it was to minister to the poor, or else we probably wouldn't go to the poor. You see, he gave us an example that transcends all time, all culture. He gave us an example to speak to us today. You ever heard the WWJD? What would Jesus do? Very simple, but very true. Sometimes we just need to remember, what would Jesus do? Right? Because God speaks through the example Jesus already laid. That is recorded in the Word of God. God wants to speak through you to that. You see, he does. There's a lot of examples, and through the Holy Spirit, through you reading your Bible, they'll come to remembrance through the illumination and the remembrance of the Holy Spirit, one of the offices of the Holy Spirit, in the time that you need it. And God will have you remember, like he did me the other day, Jesus' example on the cross, the epitome of unjust death, nailed to a cross, mocked, scorned, beat, totally innocent. What about you? You ever feel like you're innocent, but yet scorned and mocked and beat or ridiculed at school? What would Jesus do? Jesus' example transcends time and culture. You see, God wants to speak to you to Jesus' example. God wants to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verse 2 and 3 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Let's think about this just quickly. First of all, they were worshiping God. They were in the right spirit. They were doing the right things. Are you doing the right things to hear from God? Are you? Well, we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. To line up to God. They were fasting and praying. There's three lost arts that are basic in church today. Three lost arts. We're Christians. We're a church. Let me tell you three things we don't do that are the most basic things we're supposed to do. We are supposed to fast. We are supposed to evangelize, and we are supposed to disciple people. Three lost arts of the church today. Three lost arts. And that's why I'm doing everything within my power to bring them back. That's why we did a year and a half evangelism training last year. That is why we have a disciple program. We're trying to bring back in the things of God. Fasting, the church really isn't ready for yet. We're going to try and bring that into someday. I fast. We fasted this week about the conference. Let me tell you something, young people, that no one ever told me that I wish I would have known. I wish somebody, I'll tell you today, you ever struggle with sin, you ever struggle with a problem, and you want free from it, fast. Fast until you're free. You ever been caught and strangled by sin where it's dominating you and it's controlling you and you just want out, but you hate the sin, but you keep running back? Maybe you haven't experienced that yet. I don't know at your age, but I know some of you have bound to. And you will, because sin is enticing. Fast when you need to break the chains like that. That's the purpose of fasting. Isaiah 58 says to break chains, to break the bounds, to bring things in, to make things happen in the spiritual realm. But the church don't do it anymore. Why? Because we're the Western church. My goodness, why would we fast? In the Bible, it's so commanded that they don't even command it. It's a given. You don't find thou shalt fast. They say, and when you fast. You see, it's such a given in the real church, the Church of Acts, that says, and when you fast. But the church today, the Western church, we don't fast, we don't evangelize, and we don't disciple people. It takes too much time. It's too hard. There's an easier way. Become a Great Commission Christian. Become a Christian who brings back fasting into your life. Fast for the conference. fast for the chains that bind you. Fast for the souls. Over 40% of the people coming to our Next Generation Youth Conference are quite possible, by one big church that's coming standard, are not saved. I planned this as a Christian youth conference, but when I talk to the churches, 40% of their youth group is not saved. Fast for the souls of men. Fast that you would care for the souls of men. Fast until you care for the souls for men. Fast until you care. It brings great control in your life. Go to a potluck, or a bring and share, rather, and fast. What? Go to a church potluck, a bring and share, and fast. Go to a big meal and fast. Not because you can say, oh, excuse me, I'll have none of the chocolate cake. I'm fasting! That's not the purpose. The purpose is to have control of your appetite. The Bible says that you're not supposed to let your body rule. You're supposed to rule your body. Your mind's supposed to rule your body. Your spirit's supposed to rule your mind. But we get it backwards. Our body appetites say, come on, just lay around all day and play video games. You don't need to read your Bible. Sleep in another hour. You don't need to have a devotion. Your body rules you then. You see, you didn't say, no more, body. I'm slapping you back into subjection. I'm going to fast. I'm going to make you hungry. I'm going to make you pay because I own you. I own you. The Spirit of God owns me, and I own you. Don't let your body's appetites take control. You got sexual appetites. If they get out of control, bring them into subjection through fasting. There's a secret no one ever told me. You're learning secrets that no one ever speaks about in the Christian church because they're lost in the annals of Christian history. Yet they're right here in the Word of God. Lost in Christian history, but we got the book that says it. We've got Christian history right here. Don't read the Christian history of the Western Church. It is wrong. Enough on that. Notice that the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Notice they were fasting. Notice they were praying. They were worshiping. They were in the right, doing the right things. But notice also this, young people. Because this is a lot of why you good Christians aren't hearing the Word of God spoken to you. That's why you're not hearing the Holy Spirit speak, because you're not willing to obey. You think God's going to waste his voice when he knows you're not going to obey in the first place? He's just trying to sanctify you to get to where you will obey in the small stuff. They heard from God, and guess what? They finished their meeting. We finished worshiping. Let's finish fasting. Well, now let's pray and send these guys out. Let's lay hands on them. All right, you guys get out of here. You're going off. We're going to pray and send you off. They obeyed God, the quick obedience. God speaks in a lot of different ways also. He speaks through visions. He speaks in Acts 10, 9 through 22. He spoke to Peter, fell into a trance. If somebody said that today, would go, you're hyper-charismatic. You fell into a trance. Well, God can do it. We so judge everybody by, you know what? The Bible says to test everything. Quit being so quick to say, whoop, you must be weird. God wants to speak to people in different ways, and you are to judge it by time. You're to judge it by the word. You're to judge it by testing all things, but not to judge it in a judgmental spirit that it cannot happen. You see, God wants to speak to you, and God speaks to people different than he may speak to you. Don't say, well, God doesn't speak to me that way. He speaks to me this way. So you say he speaks, no. But he spoke. Peter fell into a trance. God gave him a vision, and God spoke through a vision. And oddly enough, gave Peter a vision to say, go see these people, who the people were going to actually tell him what God wanted him to say. Interesting. God uses visions and uses people and other people. He connected people to bring the whole message together. The message was here, go here. The other people that he met had the message. Interesting. I thought I'd just bring that out. God speaks to people through visions, dreams, and sometimes he leads us to others who want to speak God given messages to you. Yeah. But you've got to open your mind. You've got to open your heart. You've got to open your mind to the supernatural. Now, in Acts 2:17, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision, and your old men will dream dreams. I hope I'm still seeing visions. Yeah. Some of my jokes are too deep for tonight, apparently. Because old men dream dreams. Get it? Okay. All right. When you got to explain a joke, my wife says, forget it. So, visions, dreams, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. God speaks in many different ways, guys. It's not one way. It's not through the preacher on Sunday only.
But it is definitely one of the ways he speaks to people regularly. And through your daily devotion, more accurately, daily. But I tell you what, if you're leaving it to the preacher on Sunday for God to speak through you, you're probably not going to hear in the first place, because you're already cold and dead and dying to the spiritual things, because you won't feed yourself willingly. You're starving to death spiritually. How does God speak? Well, this is the great debate within Christianity. I hate the great debates of Christianity, and I refuse to go into them because they're not worth my time. But the great debate is, does God speak audibly? I think that's the wrong question. I would say, why would you want to limit God just to speaking to you audibly? That's the big debate. Does God speak to you audibly? Well, he can speak to you a number of ways. Don't limit it to this one. Fear, as I believe, is one of the reasons that this is debated. This topic is even debated. There are many people in Christianity who are saying God speaks to them a lot and coming with messages that contradict the Word of God. We're going to get into in a minute how you test messages to make sure they are from the Word of God, or from God. But somebody brings a message that contradicts the Word of God. Guess what, guys? It ain't from God. God does not contradict his revealed word, okay? God doesn't. If that guy comes up to you and say, hey, baby, God told me you need to sleep with me. It is not of God. It's a contradicting his word, you see? He's probably a devil masking around as an angel kind of thing. Because you'll probably say, oh, he's so sweet. Oh, well. There are many people today, and they're saying they're afraid. They're fearful because we see the opposite happening. We see the guys on television doing wild things in Jesus' name. And we say, I don't want to be like that. So we run the opposite way of the pendulum. We go, let's not have any supernatural God. Let's put God in a box where it only speaks on Sunday. Let's put God in a box where only when you open the Word, he speaks through here. Because we wouldn't want to be like those guys on television. We wouldn't want to be like that church down the street. Or whatever. God wants to speak to you, young folks. And he wants to speak to you in many different ways. He has in the past. He will in the future. He's an immutable God. So don't be a pendulum swinger. Don't be so afraid of spiritual things that you run over here in a conservative, quiet corner where God only speaks on Sunday through the main pastor. And if there's a guest pastor, probably isn't going to speak. Man, sometimes God speaks to guest pastors just as much because they come with a different style and reaching a different type of people. God wants to speak in many different ways. He wants to speak through you. That's why we're trying to say, hey guys, at the end of our meeting, what's God been saying to you this week? What's God doing in your life? Or is God dead? If God's dead, I'm going to start standing up during my preaching like Saul, running up and down, and try and say, you got live up. I'm going to stay seated at this moment. So the great question is, does God speak audibly? And I say, why limit him? Why put God in a box and let him just speak audibly? In 1 Kings 19:12, for you who want to go home and say I'm a heretic, go home and check 1 Kings 19:12. Elisha, I can't remember. Elijah said, boom, fire came, loud, wind came, woo. But that was not God. He said God spoke in a gentle voice, a gentle whisper. Elijah said that God spoke audibly. God speaks in many different ways. I wouldn't limit him to just audible. God in Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, God speaks through your peace. How do you know if something is God's will? How do you know if God's speaking to you? Well, do you get a peace about it? It's often said. But let me bring a little experience to this. That's not always true. That's not always true. Not always when God speaks to you are you going to have an overwhelming, flood, giggly sense of peace. Why? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why that you won't always have peace when God speaks to you. This is a misnomer, because when God speaks to you, it doesn't always bring peace, because sometimes it brings turmoil to your life. Because God's asked of you a larger amount of surrender. God's asked something of you that's going to cost you, and you're not willing to give it up. That's turmoil. You're at odds with God. You're fighting with God. So God's will should bring us peace. God's will can bring us peace, absolutely. Colossians 3:15 says it. But let me just tell you, sometimes when we don't surrender to the will of God, it brings turmoil to our life. Now, I don't know if God's real prone to talking to people like that, but sometimes he does anyway because he wants to show you how little you are being willing to obey him. You might think, oh man, I'm super saint. Yeah, I do this, I such, and then he says, okay, go do such and so. And you're like, peace is gone, I'm scared, man. But it's because God had to show you, you're not super saint. You think you're super saint? Well, let's put you on a super saint hit parade. And guess what? He brings us down quickly to who we are, just little small beings in need of a mighty God. God speaks in many different ways. He speaks through circumstances. Can you imagine Jonah in the belly of a fish? I'm sure he's beginning to read his circumstances at this point, right? God speaks through circumstances, but you've got to open your eyes. You've got to open your ears. You've got to become in tune to what is God trying to say to you. God is trying to speak to you all the time, I believe. Now, not an audible, big, massive change for your life, but I believe there are times, I have some written in my book, when God spoke to me 4 years ago, I remember it. I don't even need to write it down because it's in my mind. He spoke to me another time, and you know, it's funny, God speaks to me in short sentences. I don't know if it's because I'm dumb, or what, but it's usually real short, real simple, one statement, one line. And I think he does that with most of us, actually, because God knows we usually can't handle two commands. But Jonah surely read his circumstances in the belly of a fish. God speaks to us in odd ways, too, and that's why I don't always discount something, because it's a little bit different than the way God speaks to you. We're so judgmental about everyone else. The Bible says to test all things, not judge, be judgmental of all people. It doesn't say that. Exodus 3 came through, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Can you imagine if he came to us and told us that today? We would bump him out of the church and heretic, put a label heretic on him probably. And he spoke through a donkey in Numbers 22:28. God spoke, made a donkey speak. Now, if God can speak to a donkey, I think he has some supernatural ways of speaking to you. You know what amazes me most about God speaking through a donkey? It's not that he spoke to a donkey. It's that Balaam didn't freak out when the donkey spoke. You know? Hey, you back there, quit beating on me. Hey, you know? I think that would have been more amazing than the fact that God could actually do that. It's like, whoa, God brought a donkey to speak to me. Man, I must be needing to get it right. You see, God wants to speak to you. And let me just tell you, I have taught you from the Word of God today. I've taught you, but I want to tell you experientially the way I say it. Okay? You don't go experientially always, but I want to say in my experience of how God speaks to me, it's not necessarily I wouldn't call it an audible voice personally. The Bible does in 1 Kings. Sometimes, I believe, not always. But I would say it's more like, to me, if I were to explain it, which you try and explain the Almighty, you usually get in trouble, so I won't go too deep. But to me, it's more like he bypasses my ears and goes directly to my brain. That's how powerful our God is. Let me tell you what it's more like. It's like he sends an email, and it's on my hard drive. And it's audible email. That's more like what it is. It's on my hard drive. It's right there. Boom. And I can bring it up, usually. Depends on the type of message it is, and I'll get into that in a second. But let me tell you something in relation to that that symbolism, that picture I'm trying to get you of how God might speak. To me, I would say more accurately, he bypasses my ears and goes directly to my brain. That's a more powerful God to me than one that can speak to your ears, because we all can speak to the ears. So I think that's even more supernatural. But let me tell you what, because I believe God speaks directly to my hard drive, my brain, and that's the way I would phrase it, so to speak anyway, and more the norm for me, you must also realize this, there's a lot of spam coming into this brain too, okay? A lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts, a lot of, you know, too much coffee, you know, caffeine burdens. And I must learn to discern between emotions. I must learn to discern between a feeling and between an idea. I'm an ideas guy. I get 1,000 ideas a month. Easy. Are they all God? No. I don't have the staff in the entire Christendom of England to handle 1,000 ideas of mine. So, obviously, they're not all of God. So I have to discern an idea from a command, an idea from a prompting of the Almighty to direct me unto what his will for my life. But understand and know this too. God can speak through feelings. God can speak through impressions, through thoughts, through ideas, and audibly. So you too must learn to discern, is God speaking to you? And we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of this in a second. Right now we've been speaking in philosophy term, in biblical terms, and how do we know, does this happen? Has it happened? But let's now say, well, that's great, but Clint, how do I hear from God? That's the real question. Well, let's talk about the nuts and bolts of how do you hear from God. The number one question I'm asked by young Christian youth is, how can I hear from God, or how do I know when God's speaking to me? Well, how can you hear from God? Let's get personal. Fireside Chats with Clint. Let's get personal. You want to hear from God? Let's talk about how to do it. Well, first of all, you need to line yourself up with God. Line yourself up to be able to hear. Okay? And if you had a pen and paper, this is where you'd want to take notes, because this is the practical application to your life. How do you hear from God? Well, line yourself up to hear. Do the basics. Okay? Everything starts with basics. You want to be a military commander? You start with basics. You learn the basics. You do the basics until you're good at the basics. Do your basics. Read your Bible, pray, meditate on the Word of God. Read, Joshua 1:8 says to read and meditate in the Word. Not just read it. Okay, I read a paragraph a day, or I read a chapter a day, and I just want to hurry up and get done so I can get back to my MTV. I want to get hurry up and done so I can go down and be a lounge lizard. No, you must read to know God. Read to hear from God. Read that you might see what God wants to say to you today. And I tell you, young folks, it'll revolutionize your reading of your Bible. If you'll say, God, speak to me today. God, I need you. I need you to speak to me today. Maybe that's the other problem. You just don't need anything from God. You're too self-dependent, self-reliant. You've got everything you need. Why would you need anything from God until you're in trouble? Line yourself up to hear from God. Read to know God. Read to hear from God. A great truth I'm teaching you that no one's ever taught me. Read not only to know God, but read to hear from God. The office of the Holy Spirit is to illuminate the Word to you. That's His job, you see. And you need to read and say, God, speak to me. God, show me your Word. Open it up to me today. But if you're just concerned with getting done as fast as you can, you're already on the wrong page. It would be better to read less and listen more than read lots and listen none at all. Learn to listen. So do the basics. Pray. Listen in prayer. God, give me, thank you, bless me, give me, help me. Amen. Gotta go. The bus is outside. Or it's 12 o'clock, I got to go to bed, whatever the case may be in you guys' life. If it's morning or night, we highly recommend devotions in the morning, and good reason why. If you want to know after, ask me. But you pray, you listen in prayer. There's a big one that knocks out most people. You must be ready to obey what God tells you. And that's the one that gets most people. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to break up with him. I'm not going to study now. I'm not going to quit channel surfing. I'm not, I won't, no way. God says, good, you're stuck where you're at. Be with you later. Obey. And here's the one that's knocked out the Western church. If you are willing to obey, here's the one that knocks out the rest. That probably knocks out 80 to 90%. Here's the one that knocks out 97%. Faith. To believe in a big God who commands you to do little things. That can be big when he's with you. Obedience and faith. I tell you, I'm trying to get a tape for Spread the Word that we can distribute that I heard recently from Charles Stanley on faith. I just said, Lord, England needs this message. England don't have faith. Oh, yes, we show up for church and we have our Bibles and we have it all down. But we have not faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Someday we'll have a Bible story to follow up on this one, so you understand what I mean by that. But faith means you believe in an almighty, sufficient Savior who is able to do big things on your behalf. He's not a little bitty God. He's a big and mighty God. He says, if God be for you, who can be against you? God is with you. Man, some of the greatest words in the Bible. God is with you. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere at once. Hello. Take those attributes and say, I want him on my side. Have faith. Have faith that God wants to do big things. Have expectancy. We need to believe that God wants to do something. Revival may not break out in England, but let's have revival break out in this meeting. Let's start here. Let's start here. Let's expect good things from God. Will you join with me tonight at the end of this meeting when we come to prayer and expect good things in prayer? Expect good things from the Holy Spirit? Let's expect big things from God, or shall we just get it over with so we can get to the tea and biscuits? Listen in prayer. Let's go a little bit more in listening. In prayer, you need to listen. In your devotions, you need to listen. In Bible studies, here, you need to listen. God wants to speak to you. I didn't study and prepare this for my glory, for my sake. I'd rather play with my little boy. I brought it because I believe it's a message that you're asking. I believe it's a message that you need. And I believe it's a message that will transform your life from evermore if you'll obey it. If you'll respond to it, and if you'll say, Clint, can I have those notes? Can I get a copy of that tape? We're going to distribute this CD to every youth at every youth event we can, because it's the number one question asked. The number one question asked. We want to answer it. At least I want to answer it. But I tell you what, it won't transform your life. It won't move you if immediately we go away and say, I'm going back to my rut. God wants to speak through people. Sometimes the village idiot. He does. Sometimes I think he wants to speak to the village idiot, not to become a village idiot, if nothing else. God wants to speak to you, but you got to open your mind to the supernatural. You got to open your mind to God wants to speak to you. God wants a relationship with you. Do you ever hear that? God wants a relationship with you. It's not a one-way relationship. He's not your stepfather. He's your Abba Father. He wants a two-way relationship with you. God wants to speak through you through books. That's why I'm trying to get you young folks to read. That's why we got a library accessible to you. That's why we are going to offer tapes all over the world, CDs rather, and DVDs for people that say, I want more. I want more of God. I want to know more. God wants to speak through you through nature, the wonder of God, an almighty God who is designer God. You like your designer jeans? There's a designer God you need to get into. God wants to speak through your conscience, but you can sear that conscience too. God wants to speak to you young folks to keep your lives pure. And sometimes he's saying, don't do that. Don't watch that. Stop doing that. Quit watching that rated movie. Go down a notch. Don't watch TV past 10. What is it God speaking to you? I'm not giving you any rules there. But those are the kind of things I could imagine him speaking to young folks. I turn on the TV, is it past 9 or 10? I'm thinking, I hope my son never watches television. Is it past 9 or 10? I don't remember.
The watershed is 9.
So maybe God's saying, you know what? That'd be a good time to go to bed. Good time to go read your Bible. Get out from the world's influence. Well, everybody else is doing it. Yeah, everybody else is also lacking faith, lacking obedience, and lacking hearing from God. So, but we also need to obey. Let's talk a little bit about that more. You need faith when you obey. Faith in a powerful God who wants to speak to you. Who wants to lead you into his will. Do you want to see God do big things? Or do you just want to hang out at youth group and go home and then chat about trivial, mundane things? Or shall we up it a notch? Shall we move into another realm that we say we are soldiers of Christ and we're going to take the ground, if nothing else, this bit right here. Are you living an obedient lifestyle in general, in the basics? Do you have repentance and confession in your life? That might hit a lot of you right there. Do you repent and confess your sins to God? Huh? Only the big ones. Man, learn to do the small ones. You'll probably do less of them. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Filthy thoughts, bad decisions, bad choices, bad talk. Say, God, forgive me. And let him cleanse your heart and renew your mind. You need to obey in the simple things, repentance and confession, regularly in your life. They say of Martin Luther, he used to confess his sins so much at the Catholic Church. You don't have to go to a Catholic church. You have to go to the priest and confess your sins. They said he would confess it. One day, he would confess his sins for so many hours. They said, come on, Martin, quit it. You know, he was so in tune to his sin, what he did. He confessed for hours. He lived in a monastery. What could he have done? It was in the mind. It was in the heart that he confessed his sins. He was aware of his sin. He was aware of a holy God. He is aware that a holy God requires confession and repentance. How about this in obedience? Are you surrendered to God, over to his will? Even if you don't like God's will, are you willing to do it? There's the real test. It's not, hey, I want to buy you a Lamborghini. Oh yeah, I'm willing to subject myself to that will. I'm willing to take high pay and low hours. I'm willing to take the babe down the street. But are you willing to submit yourself to God's will, even if it's not your own? Are you? If not, you're already not in line to hear from God. God's less likely going to speak to disobedient children, except in chastening, in correction, you see. Quick obedience is what God's looking for from us too. Abraham, God told Abraham, leave your family and leave your land. Everything that's common to you, everything that's normal to you, leave and go to a land I'll show you. Guess what? He left immediately. Could you leave your family? Could you leave your culture, your everything you know to be familiar? Could you go to a land that was totally different? Could you obey God even if it wasn't your plan for life? Well, God, let me finish university and let me get at least 20,000 pounds together so I can have a little backstash cash. And then I'll serve you. But what if God's plan for your life was different than your own? Are you willing to surrender and submit to his will? Abraham got up and went immediately. Are we like that? Do we have quick obedience? God's looking for people with quick obedience. Acts 8, God told Philip. Now, Philip was in the midst of a revival in Acts 8. Great things, God pouring out his spirit, and you know, Philip's getting used greatly. And guess what? God says, go to the desert. But God, there's a revival happening here, and I'm in the middle of it. Go to the desert. Okay. And he went. He didn't question. We would just question. I was imitating us questioning. He went. He didn't question. He went to the desert. And God blessed his trip to the desert, et cetera, et cetera. And go on about that story. But God blessed an Ethiopian eunuch by his obedience. And it is said through church history that through that Ethiopian eunuch, that is part of what brought the revival to Ethiopia. Can you imagine your one quick obedience bringing revival to an entire country? That's the kind of things that are actually at stake, quite possibly in this room, if you align your life up to quick obedience. Because the more you line your life up to quick obedience, guess what? You're more likely to be lined up to be the person that God uses to transform a nation, a school, a city, a county. Your four friends you love so much. Acts 13. You know, God called David a man after his own heart. Don't you want to be that man or woman? A man after God's own heart. You know why? Acts 13 tells us. It says, because he was willing to do anything I told him. That's Clint's paraphrase of what it says. You look it up later. He was willing to do whatever I told him. Oh yeah, he blew it with Bathsheba, and we all blow it. None of us are perfect. But he was quick obedience, and that's what God's looking for from you. It is said that partial obedience is an argument for insincerity. Are you insincere to your God? Are you giving him lip service? Are you, you know, a Christian because you got a certificate that you were baptized or something? He wants more than your lips. He wants your heart, mind. He wants it all. What am I trying to say to you young folks? You want to hear from God? you need to listen. Open your eyes that you might hear. You want to hear from God? Open your ears that you might see. You understand the difference? You've got to begin listening so that you might see. You've got to begin watching that you might hear sometimes, because God speaks through not only audibly, he speaks through visions. He speaks through doodlebugs on a leaf. He can speak in many different ways, but you've got to be open to God speaking to you. You've got to be open to the supernatural. Learn to find out what God has for you by whatever means you can. It comes from a hunger. It comes from a desire to know him, a desire to hear from him. And if you don't have that hunger, less likely he's going to speak to you. Open yourself up to God. Realize God is supernatural. The word so many people are afraid of in this country. God is supernatural. Is he? I don't know. Is he? Is God supernatural? It almost don't even sound like it should go with God anymore in this country. Supernatural. Get away, you freak. But basically, this comes down to simple terms such as be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. God wants to speak to you. Be sensitive to God speaking to you. So we talked about, how do you line yourself up to hear from God? Well, let me tell you something else. Have right desires. Have a right heart. Have right priorities. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11. Chronicles is in the Old Testament, after Samuel, after Leviticus. 2 Samuel 1, verse 11. Second Samuel, Second Samuel, chapter 1. Did you say Chronicles? Yeah. What'd I say? I keep saying different. Second Chronicles, chapter 1. Verse 11. Second Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 11. I'm being dyslexic or something. Let's read this together. An awesome story in the Bible. Really cool stuff here. Let's look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor the death of your enemies." You ever asked for that? The death of my enemies. "And since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you. And I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who has ever before you ever had, and none after you ever will." You want to hear from God? God said to Solomon. Basically, God said, "Hey, man, ask a wish of me. Go ahead, rub the genie. I'll give you a wish," right? The kind of God most people have, the genie God. But no, God said in this one instant, he said, "Ask for a wish," so to speak. And Solomon said, "Give me wisdom to govern your people. Help me, God. Help me to be a good governor." And God says, "Wow, man, he could have asked for the death of his enemies. He could have asked for money. He could have asked for a long life. He could have asked for honor. He could have asked for anything. But he asked to help him to be a good governor of my people." How that must bless God. And it did bless God, because God goes, "Oh, man, that's the right heart. That's the right desire, Solomon. Guess what? I'm going to give you everything everybody else asked for, and more than anybody else ever has or ever will. Because with the right heart, you asked for the right thing." What am I saying here today? I'm saying God said to Solomon, have your right priorities, your right desires. Because Solomon had the right priorities, the right desires. God gave him everything, you see. Right desires, remember, God wants to speak to right desires. Now remember about, though, desires, that desire without discipline breeds disappointment. So to be disciplined, to desire without a disciplined life, it just breeds disappointment. But discipline without desire breeds drudgery. You need both. You need discipline and you also need desire. Greatly lacking in the church today. You could take this message and work on it for months, for years. Desire, discipline. There you go. There's a couple of years at least, or a lifetime more accurately for all of us. You want to hear from God, line yourself up. Have right desires, right priorities. How do we know when God speaks? Let's move on to that. Well, in simplicity, God said in Deuteronomy 18 that when he speaks to a prophet, if it comes true, hey, guess what? I spoke. A simple way to test it. Did it come true? Right? Is there a track record with the people that speak to you? That's why generally, as a rule, when you hear from people, you want to hear from godly people. But again, God can speak to you through the village idiot because God speaks in many different ways. He can speak through a bug on a leaf. He can speak through caterpillars in an air. I've never forgot that day you and I looked up in the sky and all those caterpillars were flying up there. I've never forgot it. The wonder of God. I've never forgot that day, Jonathan. Remember them? Do you remember that day? It was something to me. I'd never seen that many caterpillars. What are they? Not caterpillars.
Dragonflies.
Dragonflies. I'm sorry. flying caterpillars. I guess we were watching. Me and Jonathan saw flying caterpillars. Yeah. I think they're called butterflies. No, what are they called again?
Dragonflies.
Dragonflies. Dragonflies everywhere. The wonder of God. How does God speak? Let's go further. How do we know when God speaks? Very important question, because a lot of people are claiming in Jesus' name that God's speaking to them. Not everybody is God speaking to that claims it. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21, it says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. In other words, don't always be so critical of God speaking through someone that you cut them off. God may want to speak to you through some strange people. And he might want to speak to you some very interesting things because they're strange. It says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt and test everything. Yeah? Test everything and hold on to what's good. God says test it. Check it. You know, sometimes he requires quick obedience, but generally, if you're not sure, God's going to give you some grace to test it. Now, if it's quick obedience you want, you got to decide quickly, obviously. Sometimes God's voice requires quick obedience. Sometimes, and if we don't obey quickly, guess what? Let's say, oh, I don't know if I should go witness that person, for instance. It'll quickly fade from your memory. Or the opportunity will pass. Sometimes God's calling you to quick obedience, and sometimes I believe we miss a lot of what God tells us because we're like, well, let me pray about it for a few years. I've met some people who have done that and their lives are devastated because they decided, I want to wait until it's more clear. And their lives get devastated because they wait until God shakes the heavens or breaks their conscience. You see, God speaks to us and requires quick obedience sometimes. Other times, though, we have time to test it. Sometimes God speaks something to you big. Hey, I want you to go be a missionary in Cambodia. And you're like, whoa, today? No. Get to do a few things. You know, you got 9 or 10 months or a couple of years, whatever. We don't ever know, but you must be willing to obey immediately. But often God takes us through a process. And if it's God, time will test it. If it's God, it won't go away if you're willing to submit to his will. We can suppress God's will for your life. You can sear your conscience so that you're going, that ain't, and you'll even rationalize it. Oh, it ain't God. It couldn't be God. God wouldn't ask me to do that. God wouldn't ask me to do anything big. God wouldn't ask me to sacrifice like that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's how big a sacrifice God made for you. Realize that sometimes he remains silent too when you want to try and find out, does God speak? Sometimes it's silence. Sometimes you're supposed to wait. Sometimes you got to wait for an answer. Sometimes it's been said anyway that the answers to prayer are yes, no, and wait. That's fairly simple because sometimes the answer is real specific. But generally your answers to prayer might be yes, no, and the dreaded one, wait. Right? Wait. That's the hardest one to take. How do we tell if it's God speaking to us? Well, does it contradict the word? That's how we tell. The revealed will. God will not speak and contradict this. This is why you got to know it, so that you can test all things and hold on to what is good. People, all kind of people, taking too much medication, saying, God spoke to me. Every time I close my eyes, I see a vision. Well, it's probably because you're taking too much antidepressant medicine, and every time you close your eyes, you see colors. You know? It's true. And you think, oh, I'm seeing a vision. And you can just about conjure any vision up you want if you close your eyes hard enough. I'm seeing elephants that are green and red right now. God's trying to say something. So you got to realize, does it contradict God's word? That's the way you test it. Like, for instance, should I marry an unbeliever? Oh, buddy, I love him so much. And he's so sweet. And, oh, he's so rich. Or whatever the case may be. Is God wants you to marry an unbeliever? The answer is, in the revealed will, absolutely no. And I always have somebody say, well, let me tell you what happened. My mother married an unbeliever and he got saved later. Well, you know, I don't know. God's will says this. You got to be careful saying, oh, but it worked out good. But God's good, because God can transform things and mistakes and choices we make in life and make it okay. But that's the exception, not the rule. We don't say, well, I'm going to disobey because God will be good to me later. You know, God says not to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm sure he'll forgive me. That's called very insincere disobedience. Should I have sex before marriage? We're going to be married in 2 weeks. Why not? Well, because it says so right here. There's no clause for 2 weeks. There's no clause or justification because you're so in love. There's no clause or justification because he's going off to war, even. He might die. Ooh, see, there's a lot of things that are a lot trickier than we could ever imagine. Learn to discern if it is God speaking to you. Now let's get into the nuts and bolts. Also, obstacles to you hearing. Here's some things. Obstacles to hearing God: lack of devotions, lack of doing the basics. God's not going to speak to a stalled car. God's not speaking. Seeing who's awake here. God's not going to speak to somebody who's not going to move. God's not going to speak to somebody who's not going to obey. God's not going to speak to somebody who doesn't care, unless he's showing you how little you care by speaking to you, so that you'll realize later that you disobeyed, that you don't care. Obstacles hearing from God: fear. Fear is what's keeping a lot of good Christians from hearing from God, because, well, we wouldn't want to be like those people down the street who say they hear from God 9 times a day. So we're afraid to hear from God, so we put him in the box and say, only speaks to this right here, only when we open it, only when the preacher does it on Sunday. That's a sad existence, to say he only preaches on Sunday. It's not biblical. And a lack of faith is an obstacle to hearing God, because an obstacle of faith to act. God wants people who are going to act, as a rule. A lack of commitment, self-dependency, idolatry, anything you put before God's idolatry. Idolatry. You put a lot of things before God, God's going to speak to you. You're going to say, not me, man. I'm watching television tonight. Not me. I'm sleeping in. Not me. He loves me. Whatever the case may be, you've got idols in your life. You can't hear. You're dulled in your senses. Sin dulls our hearing. Ephesians 4:19 says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. So we can, obstacles in hearing God is sin. Obstacles from hearing God makes us dull. But what it goes on to say in Ephesians later is to put on the new self and to put off the former ways of living. And obstacles from hearing from God. Wonderful invention, the television. Obstacles to hearing from God. Television. You know, it's funny how they made the television, then they made portable televisions. And then they started putting televisions in your car. In America, the hottest new thing is to have an SUV or whatever and have dual DVD players for the kids in the back. The hottest ticket. All the cool moms and stuff have it, right? The hottest ticket. Let's keep the noise going 24/7 while we go. Hey, it works because it keeps the kids quiet. But it's also, what's the noise going in all the time? They never have to think or talk or relate to their mother or their father, whoever's driving. But notice that, listen to this. We have TV, great invention. Then there came a portable TV. Then they got portable. Then they got TVs in your car. That wasn't enough. Now, coming at a theater near you and a Virgin Mobile near you, they're coming on your mobile phone. You can watch TV going down the road. You can listen, run into things. I don't know how we're going to watch TV on the mobile, but it's going to be done. Trust me. Because we don't want to relate to people. We don't want to think about God. We don't want to slow down. We want to go faster. Phones are a wonderful invention. We got mobile phones. People talking to them all the time. You hear them talking in the store. You talking to me? Oh, talking to a mobile phone. You know, the phones are getting so small. They're just saying, and another thing about you. No good. No, you talking to me? Oh, there's going to be fights started over this. But mobile phones, everybody's on them more. There's a time when there weren't mobile phones. Did you know that, guys? Back when dinosaurs roamed over England, there were no mobile phones. And people weren't talking on them. They related and said, how you doing? They passed each other. How you doing? Good to see you. Now people are on the phone driving out. Beep, beep, beep. Speeding up our life. Music, a great thing. God loves music too. Music's a great thing, been around for centuries. Portable music came, even better. Not a bad deal. Now we got downloads of hundreds of songs on our MP3. And I notice young people walk with them in their ears all the time. No time to hear from God. I've got my MP3. Internet, wonderful invention. Then they came out with faster DSL internet. Wow. Now they're coming out at a Virgin Mobile near you. Internet, or I guess it's already out, on your mobile phone, right? Yeah. So you don't have to talk to anybody. You can sit in the cafe station. I'm going to text somebody. I'm going to email somebody. I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to watch some television. And I don't have to relate to anybody. I don't have to think about anything. I don't have to meditate on anything. I just keep going. No time for God. Well, you know, sometimes I think the only way that God might be able to speak to you young folks is if you give him your email address or your mobile phone number. But that shouldn't be for you young folks, because you're going to rise to a new occasion. You're going to rise to an occasion, if you're as long as I'm got breath, that you're going to say, God, I want to hear from you. God, I want to stand up and be counted. I made up a little song with my boy. Stand and be counted. Because I try to get him to stand. And he does this. It's really cool. Stand. And he can't even stand, but I'm holding him like, stand. And he always starts doing this. I think because he can't hold his neck up, but he's like jiving to it. Stand and be counted. Anyway, has God got your mobile number? Is he on your MP3? You know, listen up, this is really interesting today. I realized that I should say this. One of the factors in Next Generation that we started a thing called Spread the Word was I saw a need. I saw young people everywhere with these things in their ears and their CD players. And I said, God, how do we get your word into them? And it actually came about through me seeing Solomon sitting right here amongst you, who said, Clint, can I get some sermons so when I walk to town, I can listen to them? He chose to say, I want the word of God in my ear as I walk to town. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to music, guys. Don't get over the top of what I'm saying. I'm saying open the sieve of your mind and input something that's God and cut some of the noise out of your life. We came up with this idea of Next Generation Spread the Word because Solomon said, I want some to listen to. And I realize that young people have CD players, and we're going to produce 3,600 CDs and DVDs to pass out for free this year because I want to fill some of the noise with the Word of God, that we might spread the word. And it's interesting, as a diversion a little bit here, God spoke to me, and I believe God led me to do this. I felt led to do it, and I'm like, just going, okay, God, just doing it. And I go to America, and I shared it with two people. I wasn't trying to get any money from them. They asked, so what's going on in England? I said, blah, 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 blah. And then I got this passion. Create CDs and DVDs and offer them for free so the word might get out. Da, da, da. Boom. Next thing I know, they said, come by. They call me up and they said, well, give us how much you think that's going to cost. I send it to them. Well, I don't know how much it's going to cost. I would have never known how much this was going to cost unless I put it on paper. Put it on paper, sent it to them, and they joked around, called me and said, we got a few questions on your thing, on your quote you sent to us. When can you come by and pick up your check for $5,000? Wow. God with you, folks. God with you, God leading you, God speaking to you. Line yourself up to obey, and God will lead you and speak to you. And we're going to get some of the Word of God in you young folks here. Our target age is under 30. And of course, other things, families and marriages and stuff. But our target is under 30. All you young folks with these things in your ears. All this noise, we want to replace it with the Word of God. It is said that the devil, if the devil can't destroy you, he'll discourage you. And if he can't do either of those, he'll distract you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's what he's done to you. You're distracted. Television, boom, noise, MP3, music, CD, video games. We ain't got no time for God. We got too many other things going on. John Piper says, desire for other things, that's the enemy. And the only weapon that will triumph is a deeper hunger for God. The weakness of our hunger for God is not because he is unsavory, but because we keep ourselves stuffed with other things. The greatest enemy of the hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It is not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world. It's not the X-rated or 18 video, but prime time dribble of triviality we drink in every night. For all the ill that Satan can do, when God describes what keeps us from the banquet table of his love, it's a piece of land, a yoke or an oxen or a wife. The greatest adversary of love to God is not his enemies, but his gifts. And the most deadly appetites are not the poison of evil, but the simple pleasures of earth. When we replace an appetite for God himself, the idolatry is scarcely recognizable and almost incurable. The five idols of the West. You see, we got too much noise. There's no wonder of God. We don't need God. Let's see that we need him. Let's listen to him. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know I am God. That means you cut it off every now and then. Or you even discipline your life to say, you know what? You're right. I'm responding to the Holy Spirit speaking to me today. And I'm now going to listen to one sermon a week, as long as you supply them through Next Generation, spread the word. And I'm going to now read one book a month. Just give you an example. I'm not telling you what to do. And I'm now going to cut off 2 hours of television a night. Some of you are looking like, that's... and I'm now, you know what? I'm going to do something else. I love one of my heroes, Mike McIntosh, who said, you know what? I'm not going to the movies with my family anymore. We're not going to buy popcorn and drinks and spend the 50 quid it takes to take his whole family to the show. He found out he could buy a ton of rice in a year for what it cost him and his family to go to the show. And now they play board games at home and they send a ton of rice to China to feed the hungry. What a holy, godly man he is. You see, we need to change our appetites to the appetites of God, to the hunger for God. We've got too much in our lives, too much noise in our lives. We're too busy. God can't even get our attention, much less our phone number. We're too busy for God. We've lost the wonder of God. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. God is everywhere. Tune in. Make the connection. Tune in to God. Tune out to some of these things a little bit less. Make a commitment to tuning some things out. You want some practical things to do? Knock off some of the noise in your life and the video in your life. And say, God, you know what? I'm knocking off an hour this month. And I'm devoting it to more of you. What's that? That's that, like 10 minutes a day or something? You know? I'm knocking it off. I'm going to quit watching this other show that always fills my mind with rubbish anyway. And you know what? I think I'm going to start studying a favorite topic you'd like to learn about. Many years ago, E.B. Hill wrote in New Yorker magazine, the world has shifted. There was a total eclipse of the moon last night with weather conditions right to watch it from our lawns. But most people watched it from their television. It is strange that technology has done so much to diminish us. We have replaced the heavens with the screen. Does God speak? Well, yes. In so many ways, it's unbelievable. In closing, I'd like to say, Revelation 3:20 says, here I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would open the door and let me in, I would come and speak to him. I would dine with him. I would have a relationship with him. But if you close me off, you close the door and say, God doesn't speak, God doesn't, God doesn't, can't. Guess what? You won't hear from God. John 10 says, my sheep listen to my voice. They follow him because they know his voice. God speaks. He leads his people. He is an unchanging God. He spoke in the past, and he wants to speak to you now. Line yourself up to be able to hear. Do the basics. Get rid of the noise. Listen. Look. Open your eyes that you might hear, and open your ears that you might see. Because you need to become more in tune with the supernatural God. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Read your circumstances. Sometimes God's speaking through circumstances. You remember? Be ready to obey. Be living right. Get your desires right. This is in review, in case you haven't figured it out. So that you can hear the voice of God. He is the good shepherd. He wants to lead you. But so does the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's coming at a theater near you. It's on your TV every night. It's on your MP3 player. It's on MTV. Will it lead you, or will you be led by God? Will you hear from God, or will the world be shouting louder than God because it's all you input into your mind? Open yourself up to God. Listen, be still, and know that I am God, a lost art amongst Christians. Reflection. Time, not just prayer time, but when you sit and say, God, I just want to sit and be still before you. Hey, God, by the way, I'm not going to say anything, but I tell you what, I'm going to do some listening right now. Do you want to say anything to me? Let me tell you what God does in that time. Sometimes he'll speak to you, but sometimes he also may see, are you really serious about that? And then he'll speak to you later, or he downloads it into a file that gets spammed and comes in later, or I don't know what happens. It's funny, but if you open yourself up to God, he wants to speak to you. God wants a two-way relationship with you. You know, maybe today you're not right with God. You can't hear from God. Maybe you've never heard from God. Maybe sin has dulled your senses. Maybe you've never really received Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you fear the supernatural. You don't want to be like the wild and the wacky down the street. Maybe you're afraid to think that God could speak to you because he might ask something big of you. Maybe you're afraid to let God speak to you because you're afraid that, you might have to say, I think God showed me and told me to do this, and it requires a lot of your life to do it. Mom, Dad, I think God doesn't want me to go to university. Mom, Dad, I think I want to get a job, only work 20 hours a week so I can give 40 hours a week to God. Maybe you need a deeper surrender tonight. Maybe you need to act on what God's already told you. God wants to speak to you, young folks. He speaks to me, and he wants to speak to you. You are the next generation. He spoke in the past. He'll speak in the future, and he wants to speak to you. Open your minds up to the supernatural. Learn the word of God that you might test things. Have faith. So when God gives you great things to do, you're able to say, let's go for it, even though I don't have the money for 3,600 CDs. I don't know, I'm going to produce some CDs, and if I only got enough money for 200, I'm going to do it because I believe God's led me and basically told me to do it. God is good. God wants to speak to you, young folks. God wants to take you to another level of your Christianity where you say, I want faith. I want obedience. I want to hear from God. I want to do the will of God. In the name of an all-sufficient Savior. In the name of a God who's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. In the name of our Savior and our King who died for us. Amen.